I don't have to, but it's part of who I am, right? It's just me. I'm a preacher. So preachers preach. Is that okay? Can I speak for a few minutes? I won't keep you long. But I found something out in the Bible that turned my clock, or wound my clock. And that is, Jesus is the heir of all things. When I read that, I said, come on, are you kidding? And then I read some more, and it said, not only is Jesus the heir of all things, but because we're in Jesus, hold on to your seat. You and I are heir of all things. So that means there's no lack anywhere. God's provision is our provision. He owns a cattle on 1,000 hills. Guess what? We own it too. You know, some man was having a conversation with God. Did you ever talk to God? Sometimes it's a one-way conversation, isn't it? Well, this man was talking to God, and he said, hey, God, I want to know, what's 1,000,000 years like in heaven? God said, that's easy. It's like a second. He said, wow, like a second? Okay. Well, then, God, what's $1,000,000 like in heaven? And God said, oh, that's easy. It's one penny. The man said, wow, one penny? Hey, God, can I have one of them heavenly pennies? And God said, sure, give me a second. How many know that God's got all of our needs met according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus? And if you're standing in faith this morning, you're in the middle of a test, you're in the middle of a trial, things around you are falling apart, things around you are beginning to crumble, and you're finding yourself in the middle of lack or poverty or frailty or sickness, and you begin to think, where in the world is God? Let me tell you something. 1,000 years with the Lord is like a day, and a day is like 1,000 years. Let me tell you something. God is faithful. Don't you give up this morning, because you are a joint heir with Jesus Christ. Lift your hand up and declare, Father, thank you that I am an heir according to the promise. I am a joint heir with Jesus Christ. And if all things have been given to the Son, then all things have been given to me in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. Amen. I want you to be excited about it today. I don't want you to begin to feel like God doesn't have your back, because He does. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 to 4 tells us, listen, this is a great scripture. If ever you want to get happy, read this. If you want to get crazy happy, read it twice. If you want to become delirious, memorize it and begin to mutter it all day long. You'll be walking around like a madman, like a madwoman. Because here's what the scripture says. He upholds all things by the word of His power. And you know what the Bible talks about? He talks about how He created the worlds. He created the time frames. That word world in the Greek means ages or time periods. So check this out. This is amazing. It's like God created the time or the time frame in which He could be born in order to redeem what He foresaw was coming through Adam. So the thing that the devil did didn't catch God off guard. God didn't one day wring His hands and go, whoops, look what Adam just did. Now we're in trouble. Not a chance. God already, before the foundation of the world, the Lamb of God was slain for our sin. So Jesus not only creates the time frames or the ages or the seasons of which you and I are going to have need, those provisions are already in the atmosphere. They're already in our future. They're already in our destiny. So it's only a matter of T-I-M-E. I just got to tell the devil, hey, devil, you may have me in rags this morning. You may have had taken all my money. You may have stolen all my stuff. But it's only a matter of time, because my God is faithful and he's already created a time frame, an age, a season where all of that is going to turn around, because I am a joint heir with Jesus Christ. Can you get happy about that this morning? Man, think about it. You and I possess all things in Jesus. Man, I just love that. I just get excited about it. I mean, think about it with me. How do you describe the worth to one who is priceless? How do you give a definition to Jesus who is absolutely priceless? He talks about his inheritance two different ways. In 1 Corinthians 2 and 9, it's indescribable. He said, eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, all that God has prepared for those that love him. That's why I'm excited about my tomorrow. I'm excited about the next minute I live. I have no idea what God has already created for the time frame that I'm about to step into. I can't judge my next moment by my past moment, because I know that my God, if he be for me, who can be against me? And that God is good all the time. So while I may be standing in faith in the middle of a battle, I may be in a trial in the test of my life, I refuse to quit, because I know that God, who is the inheritor of all things, Jesus Christ, has awarded to me that same inheritance. You know, in Genesis 24, I love this story about Abraham sending his servant Eleazar to go find a wife for Isaac. So he went to find this wife, and interestingly, he meets up with Rebecca. And Rebecca's coming to get some water at the well. She had no idea she was serving her own dowry. She had no idea she was blessing the very animals that carried her payload of blessing to her. It hadn't been revealed yet, but she was a servant. I want to encourage you, servants of God, when you think there's nothing coming your way, or you feel like nobody's noticing you, you keep on digging up and bringing up the water. You keep on serving the purposes of God, because the very thing that she served is the thing that brought her blessing. Now, that's not my sermon, so let me move on. But I just had to talk about that for a minute. The key verse is in Genesis 24, if you can put that scripture up, that talks about how Abraham's son Isaac became the heir. The Bible says, I am Abraham's servant, verse 35. This is powerful. And he begins to talk about Abraham. And Eleazar is telling Rebecca who he is and who he's connected to. Watch this. He said, the Lord's blessed my master greatly, and he has become great. So now she's talking about how great God is. Then he begins to talk about he's given him flocks and herds. In other words, he owns everything from where I'm from. You can't go anywhere where Abraham doesn't have his stamp of identity upon him. He's beginning to preach. I mean, right here, the band is beginning to play. I mean, that B3 organ is screaming. That preacher is a sweating and a shouting. Eleazar's preaching, man. Here's what is happening. Look at it. He has given him flocks and silver and gold. Ooh, male and female servants, and camels and donkeys. And then in verse 36, look at what he discloses. And Sarah, my master's wife, bore a son to my master when she was old. Read the last part with me, would you? Come on. And to him he has given all that he has. Come on, read it one more time. And to him he has given all that he has. Oh, can you do it one more time? I'm starting to get happy. And to him,
he has given all that he has.
What did Eleazar use to lure Rebecca from where she was to where God wanted her to be? He began to disclose, listen, this boy you're about to get hooked up with, He has it all. Abraham is rich in gold and silver and servants and camels and lands and greatness. But let me tell you, everything he has, he gave to the Son. And this Son wants you to be a spouse to him. Church, don't you think that you're going to get hooked up, your groom, we being the bride of Christ, to some broken down religion that can't hardly find the two ends to try to get them to meet. Don't you think for a moment that you're getting hooked up to some dead church that can't find their way out of darkness. Don't you think for a minute that you're coming to the kingdom of which God is not able to meet all of your need. I'm telling you, just like Isaac presented himself to Rebekah, Jesus is presenting himself to you and me, and he is the God that is great and greatly to be praised. Somebody shout hallelujah. Yeah, I'm telling you, church, the greatness of Jesus. He is a great God. He is a magnificent God. He is a good God. And he wants to give us all things. He wants to give us all things. Now, here's the key. Jesus, when he walked on the earth, he knew he had all things. He knew he possessed everything. Look what Matthew 11 says. Matthew 11, Jesus talks about it. And he says in that scripture that my Father, he said, all things have been delivered to me by my Father. So he's walking around. He's sitting on the back of a camel. He's having to deal with religious mentalities. He's having to hunger. There are times he thirsted. He's having to cast out devils. He's trying to teach unruly disciples about God. And here in the back of his mind is what kept him going. Because he knew that all things, say it with me, all things have been delivered to me by my Father. In other words, Jesus knew he was the possessor of heaven and earth. You're not serving an icon or religious identity. You're not serving a little pint-sized Jesus. You are serving the God that created heaven and earth today, who breathed life into you and me, who flung the stars into their socket, who holds the worlds in their orbit, who commanded the sun to shine, and it'll continue to shine until he says, shine no more. We're serving a great God. Jesus is a big, big God, and he possesses all things. Now, here's the good news. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passing away, and all things are becoming new. How do I know that? Because God framed my and your world in the future. My need and your need has already been met. He created it before it even happened. He is a God that has framed the world, the ages, the seasons, and the times, so that he knew that when I would be born, I would need a redeemer. He knew that when I failed in sin, I would need forgiveness. He knew when I lost my way, I would need direction. He knew when I didn't have no more strength, have no more power, that I would need the Holy Ghost. So what did he do? He created a season of the outpouring of the Holy Ghost upon the earth. And he declared, your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Come on now. That power of God is available to you and you and me. Lift your hands up and say, he's a great God. Woo, yes, he is. He's a great God. Church, we have to understand the kind of Jesus we're serving. You know, I don't know about you, but sometimes I get a little weary going to church and seeing a half-pint Jesus up on the platform. Half-pint Jesus out in the hallway. A half-pint Jesus when you go to pray. Call somebody up and say, hey, could you pray? Well, you know, we need to know what the will of God is. Read the book. I'm going to tell you what the will of God is. God's will is that you be healed. God's will is that you be delivered. God's will is that you be full of the Holy Ghost and power. Come on. Look at somebody and say, I can't help it. Say, I can't help it. It's just God's will. Amen? Come on, it's just God's will. He made the worlds. He made the ages to come. so that when from the beginning he had full intention of restoring all things to original intent. God's not satisfied to leave you and me where he found us. God's not satisfied to leave this church on the level he found it today. God's ready to go to another level. God's not about to leave you in the revelation of yesterday. There's still more to know. There's still more to do. God is still bigger for you and me to discover and to find out and to search out the wonders of his glory. Church, I just want you to know you are stepping in to some greatness this day. You are walking into a kingdom that has dominion. Huh? And God's not satisfied with half-baked Christians that attend church 2.4 times per month. Huh? Christians that 90% don't tithe. Christians, huh, that still tip the bottle and get drunk. Don't get mad now. Christians, huh, that still sleep around and they're not married. Christians who can't even get up to house of God and praise him. Christians who call themselves a believer, but find themselves more in love with the world than they do the kingdom of God. I don't know about you, but that's not God's original intent. Huh? That's not God's original intent is that we would square our shoulders, we'd square our jaws, we'd walk with authority on this earth, we would have dominion over this earth, we would walk in authority, we would multiply, we would tend and keep the garden of which he gave us, and we would rule and reign with Jesus Christ. I'm glad that I'm on my way to that kind of a Christianity. I'm glad I go to people in church who aren't satisfied with nominal, mediocre Christianity, who are ready to leave that thing and say, I'm going to fight through. I'm going to bust through. I don't know what it's going to take. I'm going through trial and tribulation, but I refuse to give up and I refuse to quit because my God is too great. My God is too great. Come on, look at somebody. Say, Jesus is too great for me to quit today. Come on. You and I have got to understand that there is a kingdom yet to be manifested on the earth. And it's coming. You better get ready. It's coming. Whether you're ready or not, it's coming. Whether you want to be a part of it or not, it's coming. Northeastern Ohio, let me prophesy to you. The kingdom of God in its glory and its fullness is about to overtake this region. And Jesus Christ will be lifted up and he will be glorified. Now, I try not to get excited. I try to be more conversational, but I can't. It's in me. I just get excited. I have to stop that, though. I can't. I'm sorry. I can't. How do I know he's great? Because he came as a baby, the incarnation. How do I know he's the inheritor of all things? Because he came 2,000 years ago, humbled himself, and born of a woman, submitted himself to everything that you and I will ever have to be submitted to. The God that created it, even created the age or the season of which he would come to die. God spoke from the very foundations of the world that the very little seedling that had not yet been birthed from its mother tree would someday drop from its branch and grow a seedling of which the cross would be carved from, upon which he would die. He created that season. He forged in the future those that would betray him, the disciples that would follow him, Peter that would deny him, the spear that would pierce him, the centurion that would declare who he was, and then came into that season and walked it out. Don't you for a minute let the devil lie to you and think that you are in a season where God has no control, where God will not redeem you. No. This did not catch God by surprise. Because you are an heir of all things. He knows poverty, according to 2 Corinthians 8 and 9. He who was rich became poor for our sakes. He knows suffering. In every way, the writer of Hebrews says, he suffered. Every way, he sinned. He became sin, rather, who knew no sin. He became subject to temptation. He who never had to deal with temptation. Why? So that we can have a way out. So that you and I can have the victory. He even became acquainted with death. The God that gave life, that never knew an end, subjected himself to a human life and allowed it to end. Think about it with me. And he did it for a purpose. His purpose was this: to bring humanity back to its original condition. When I get up in the morning, I cannot relegate my life to just victory over the temporal. I got to look beyond the temporal. I got to look beyond the negative. I got to look beyond the betrayals. I got to look beyond the people who are stabbing me in the back. I got to look beyond those that reject me. I got to look beyond the lack of finances of my money. I got to look beyond the weakness in my flesh. I got to look beyond the depression that's overtaken me. Because I know something, in spite of all these things, I've got a God inside of me who's a possessor of heaven and earth. I've got a Savior who's redeemed me, who has been given all things by the Father. That's why I can't quit. You can't quit. You can't walk away now. Have you ever wondered why you have so many trials? Somebody told me the other day, before I was a Christian, I had a good life. Now that I'm a Christian, all hell is breaking loose everywhere. Oh, you ever, how many would say you've had trials and tribulations since you've been a believer? Huh? Look at all of you. I heard something yesterday in the war rooms of hell, in the bowels of hell. They were strategizing how to destroy you. Temptations were set up to trip you. Opportunities will be presented to somehow capture you, possess you, so that the enemy could steal, kill, and destroy you. I heard it in the spirit. And every day, the war rooms of hell create people, create circumstances, create happenings and events for the sole purpose to take you out. But congratulations, you made it, you're still standing, you're not defeated, you're still here. Come on, somebody, strut a little bit. Hey! He failed again. His plans were foiled. Why? Because greater is he that is in me than he that is in this world. And I know that I'm being conformed. I'm not going to be conformed to this world, but I'm being transformed by the renewing of my mind. That I will prove. I'm out to prove something. They said, Caton, you live like you got something to prove. I said, yeah, that's right. That he's God and you're not. I got something to prove that he's able. I got something to prove that he can bring me out. I got something to prove that God is bigger and greater than any problem I'll ever face. I've got something to prove. I want everybody to know that Jesus is real. This is the real deal, man. This isn't some church thing. This is the eternal Son of God. Because he's a great God. I've got something to prove. Rebecca believed that Isaac was. It lured her. We've been preaching a too little Jesus. Weak. Effeminate. Busted. Depressed Jesus. A drug addicted Jesus. A drunk Jesus. Mm-hmm. Say, well, no, we ain't preaching that. Well, then why today are Christians, huh? Why today who proclaim Christianity are getting drunk? What? Say it's not so, Pastor. Why are Christians today who profess this great Jesus, the inheritor, possessor of all things? Why are they subscribing to Playboy? Oh, say it ain't so, Pastor. Jesus never dogged out his disciples. Jesus never talked about them like they were some demons. Jesus never betrayed them. Jesus never walked out on them. Jesus was loyal to them even when they walked out on him. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. What kind of Jesus are we serving in this generation where we walk out on people, where we betray people, where we dog people out, where we treat people like as if they're not even humans? Don't preach. Don't shout me down while I preach. I'm going to become like Jesus. I got one goal. I'm going to be like Jesus. I'm going to love like Jesus, walk like Jesus, talk like Jesus. Ow! Sing like Jesus, preach like Jesus. When you look at me, you're going to be seeing Jesus. When you walk out of my presence, you say, surely Jesus was here somewhere. Woo, it must have been in the preacher. Oh, my God, I feel Jesus. You know, like Charles Finney back in the early days of Oberlin College. I did a wedding there yesterday. We were in this great chapel called Fairfield Chapel. And in the stained glass, Jesus is in the stained glass. Christ, who gives victory. They got pictures of Jesus with a halo around his head, a shepherd's staff. And his hand bent with a little sheep. I'm sitting there waiting to do the wedding. I'm thinking, that ain't my Jesus! And the man that opened the door to let us in so that we could do the wedding. Just say it with me. One more time. How have we reduced this great God that owns everything, heaven and earth, who created the worlds, who can in an instant, bam, you're healed. Bam, instant, he delivers. Bam, instant, that he is so powerful and holy. Bam, he can change things. I mean, you don't even know what you're about to walk into. I mean, the age and the time and the season that's waiting you. Your eyes have not seen, ears have not heard. And First Peter said, this inheritance is incorruptible. You know what that means? The devil can't do nothing about it. Look over at somebody and say, God wants to bless you. And there ain't nothing the devil can do about it. I'm going to walk into my future. I'm going to walk into my upgrade. I'm being upgraded. Being upgraded. Charles Finney, who started that Bible college there, was later ousted, became liberal. Throughout the seminary, there's still Jesus stuff everywhere. If you go over there, there's Jesus stuff. Some of the greatest missionaries and missions projects from around the world came out of Oberlin College because Charles Finney was one of the greatest, most anointed men of the early days. It was said of Charles Finney that he would walk into a manufacturing plant, just walk in, not even preach. As soon as he walked in, people would stop working and get on their knees and cry out to God for forgiveness. He didn't preach one sermon. When Jonathan Edwards would preach, sinners in the hands of an angry God, it's recorded that people on the back of the pews sunk their nails into the pew to hold on because they felt and sensed they were being hurled into an eternal hell. There ain't no preaching like that now. But we're coming back. The kingdom is coming back. I'm telling you, there is a hungry remnant on the earth that wants this Jesus to be as great in them as he is in heaven. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So you could have Jesus stuff, you know, all over and no Jesus. That has to explain it to me. Why Christians, quote, unquote, can live an unregenerate life. Some of the meanest people I know claim to be Christians. I get along better with secular folk at times. How many know what I'm talking about? Did you ever go to a Christian business and try to get work done? Mm-mm. All right, let me rephrase that. Most Christian businesses. It's like, why don't we have integrity? We're representing. We're representing, man. We are representing him. And we can't keep our word. We can't deliver on time. We can't talk right. We can't believe best for you. When you're not there, we got to say one thing. And when you're there, we act a different way. Huh? What happened? What happened to the kingdom of God? You see, ladies and gentlemen, Hebrews 11:6, and I'll quit with this because this is enough right here. I want you to read it with me. The writer of Hebrews got it. This is really our pledge, isn't it? Would you like to read it with me? All right, let's go. You know that diligently seek him thing? We've kind of defined that and relegated that to some little bit of worship, a little bit of prayer, a little Bible reading. We better go a little deeper. He's a rewarder to those who diligently seek him. To diligently seek him to do what? To be conformed to who he is. You and I have to become diligently seekers to become like Christ every day. See, my wife has got to learn what it's like to be married to Jesus through me. Well, that's what it says. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. Doesn't it say that? So she's going to be like, ooh, this is like being married to Jesus. Jesus don't cuss at her. Jesus sure enough doesn't hit her or push her or yell at her or demean her or be condescending to her. All you ladies, you need to be saying amen here. All you men need to be saying, oh, me here. We're seekers of God because we want to know that God's original plan was that we would walk with him like Adam did, that we would walk with him like Enoch did. Why? Because God has a plan for our restoration to begin to be the what he had called Adam to be. The second Adam brought forth the whole opportunity for all of us to walk with God. I'm going to love you enough to tell you the truth. If you got some anti-Jesus in you, I have to point it out in love. Don't look right or left, but you know somebody around you that's got some of that anti-Jesus stuff, right? No way, man. No way, man. All right, read the scripture again. Are you ready? Oh, I'm sorry. Put it back up there. Hebrews 11:6. All right. But without faith, it is impossible to believe him. Right there. Stop right there. Believe that he what?
He is.
Believe that he what?
He is.
See, you and I got to wake up in the morning and believe that he is. You and I got to walk along our day and say, I believe that he is. When the doctor said you ain't going to make it, I got to believe that he is. When there ain't enough money to match my month, I got to say, I got to believe that he is. When people walk out on you, betray you, talk about you, I got to believe that he is. When God tells me to do something that's greater than me and more than ever I could produce or that I could ever pay for, I got to believe that he is. You see, Isaac understood and believed that God was. Because when Isaac was in a condition of famine, what'd he do? God said, don't go to Egypt. Just believe that I am. And Isaac believed that he was. And the Bible said he sowed in a time of famine and reaped a hundredfold because he was a man who believed that he is. When Rebecca was barren, can't find nobody to do me like Jesus, can't find nobody. When you don't have nobody. Has there ever been a time in your life when you can't find nobody? I mean, even your dog doesn't want you. Do you ever have those moments? I mean, you know, nobody wants you. Isaac said, wait a minute. I'm understanding something about Rebecca. She can't have a baby. Wait a minute. God, you said that in this patriarchal trio that we would populate the earth and redeem all mankind through the covenant promise of Israel. Therefore, she can't be barren. Devil, you hear me? She can't be barren. And not like his father. His father said, I think I'll go find me another woman and have a baby through her. Isaac said, that wasn't the way to go. Ishmael was not a good idea. So the Bible said he went out into the field to meditate. He went out into the field to meditate. In other words, to pray. And he began to pray. And Isaac prayed. He said, God, you're a God of promise. You're a God that's given me all things. I'm the inheritor. You even said so in your word. I thank you today that my wife has got to be the avenue and the channel to birth that seed. So therefore, I call her pregnant in Jesus' name. She bore a child. Isaac had to dig a well. His father's wells, he dug them out. And as soon as he dug them out, here comes the Philistines. We want that water. We want that water. That's our water. Get out of here. And like, what do you mean it's yours? My dad cut these out. These are mine. But he didn't quit there. He said, all right, fine. He went and dug another well. Because he knew that God had given him all things. And if he found water here, I'll find water over there. Because my digging isn't what produces water. My inheritance does. So I'll be diligent to find it. So he dug another well, and guess what? Here they come again. Here they come again. That's our well. Get out of here. I said, oh, man. So he took off. That's where we'd lose 2/3 of the church, right there. I don't know what it is about this generation. They are the most disloyal. Help me now. The most disloyal, betraying, convenience-seeking, comfort allured that I've ever seen in the time I've been serving God for 34 years. That's why when my wife came out here 4 years ago this next month, we had a glimmer of hope given back to us. I said, my God, there are people who love you. There are people that are hungry for the Spirit of God. There are people that are not going to give up, cash in the chips, walk away. There are people who want to see the power of God and the Lordship of Jesus Christ established on the earth. And our hope was restored. You have restored our faith. Don't play. Don't play. Because that makes me feel like I'm done and I ain't done. I know how you do that. Which one of you deacons paid him? Whoop. You see, Isaac believed God. You can't walk out today. You can't quit. I just call forth those who have gone back to dead mainline denominations. You know, there are more evangelicals leaving Christ today to go back to deadness than ever before. I call them back in Jesus' name. I say, you have a great Jesus. You have an inheritance. You have a God that has created a season for you. And your time has come. Don't you give up. Don't you quit. Don't you back down. Don't you back up. Listen to me. God is bringing people back. I'm going to believe God for the backslider to come back to the house of the living God. You see, we're going to face trials in our life. Ladies and gentlemen, we're all going to face trials. And sometimes these trials come with big teeth and hair. They're intimidating. Sometimes your heart's broken. Sometimes you feel rejected and betrayed by the ones that should be loving you. It's not the ones that you don't even know that hurt you. It's the ones that you know that hurt you. Say, God, why are they hurting me? Why is this happening? You're going to go through trials. Because in Luke chapter 20, there's a story about a man who owned a vineyard who kept sending his servants to go get his stuff, and they kept killing them. You know that story in Luke 20? And what did the vineyard say? He said, well, I know what I'll do. I'll send my son. When they find out that he's the son, they'll have respect for him, and they'll do what they're supposed to do. So he sent his son. And guess what they did to him? They said, oh, look, here's the son. The heir of this vineyard. You want to know why you're in trial? You want to know why you have temptations? You want to know why you have trouble? You want to know why stuff is always trying to fly at you and knock you out and take you down? Because you're an heir. The devil will leave you alone if you're a half-baked Christian. Make a decision to live for God. Make a choice for righteousness. Make a choice to become conformed to the image of Christ and watch what happens. Make a move forward in God. Begin to serve Him in faith. Begin to believe Him at His word and watch what happens. You and I have got to believe that He is. Come on, just say, I believe that you are. I believe that you are. You see, ladies and gentlemen, in famine, you got to believe that He is. In barrenness, you got to believe that He is. In times of drought, you got to believe that He is. In times of betrayal, you got to believe that He is. There's something inside of me. I don't know what it is other than my belief that He is. If I didn't have that, I wouldn't be here this morning. I would have already quit. I would have found something else to do. I would have got me another job. I would have stopped worrying about everything and stopped under this pressure, and I'm not doing this anymore. But inside, something says you got to believe that He is, and that He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. You see, there's something inside of me that's greater than that which is happening to me, and I can't stop, I can't quit, and neither can you, because God's going to receive all the glory for what you're facing right now. You hold on and don't you let go, because God's about to show Himself up strong in your life. Take somebody by the hand and say, it's going to be all right. God's got a plan for you, honey. God's got a plan. Don't you quit. Don't you give up. Don't you stop. In a minute, the season that you're about to walk into has already been prepared. When I begin to think about the greatness of God, I think I have to, just one thing I have to think about. Am I in Christ? I know I'm in trouble. But am I in Christ? I know I'm in lack, but am I in Christ? I know I'm in depression, but I am in Christ. I know I'm in a betrayal moment, but am I in Christ? I know I'm in all of this financial pressure, but am I in Christ? I know my business is in trouble, but am I in Christ? And if any man be in Christ, if any man be in Christ, there's something inside of me that keeps saying, I believe that He is. I don't know how, I don't know where, I don't know when, but I know that He will. God is able, and He will do exceedingly abundantly above all that I could think or ask. I know my God will come through, because He is a great God. You be encouraged today. Listen to me, the devil hates you, but God loves you. the demons are gnarling down upon your life, but God is sending ministering spirits to uphold you and to strengthen you. The hour of your trial and the hour of your temptation is even now, but God has prepared a place for you and me that we might dwell, to sit down at the very table of the Lord in the presence of your enemies. God loves to punish the enemy when he's able to cause you and me to sit down at the banqueting table of his provision and make the devil watch. You are breaking through and you are going to make it. I don't care what happened. You may have come to church in rags, holes in the bottoms of your shoes, not even a penny to put in the offering. What does that have to do with your inheritance? Your father may have disowned you. Your mother may have abused you. Your friends may have lied on you. Your very family may have hurt you. But what does that have to do about your inheritance? Your body may be feeling weak. Your mind confused. Your emotions broken. We've got to get off Valium in the church and start getting on a great Jesus and recognize that he is going to do miraculous things in your life. It's not over until it's over. And you need to look right at the devil and say, it isn't over. Because my God is about to show up in a miraculous way. Because he's not about to leave me where he found me. He's not finished with me yet. And devil, recompense is on its way. Retribution is coming down the pike. If I were you, I would tuck tail and run. You do not want the wrath of my God, because angels of heaven have been dispatched from glory, and they are about to meet me in the hour of my trial and strengthen me when I can't find nobody else. God is able. Let me ask this question. Are you in Christ? You see, there's no inheritance apart from Christ. If you've been pardoned, it's been through his blood. If you've been justified, it's through his righteousness. If you've been set apart, it's because he sanctified you. If you know him, it's because his wisdom has been disclosed. If you've been kept from falling, he's lifted you up. The songwriter said, how great is our God? Sing with me, how great is our God? All will see how great is our God. You may be homeless. You may be forsaken. Your family fractured, your business crashing, your friends walking away, but you stand tall and you sing about how great your God is. Would you with me lift a hand up and close your eyes and sing it again? How great is my God? Sing with me, how great is my God? All will see how great is my God. Come on, can you lift your voice? Sing how great. David was ousted from Jerusalem, and Absalom was in insurrection. And he was in exile. Somebody in the kingdom said, let us return David to his rightful throne. I want you to know something. a word that God gave me some weeks ago when Tina and I were traveling. Is there's a returning to your rightful place. There's a returning of the King to His kingdom. You better get ready because church won't be the same. The King is coming back. The King is coming back. I remember an old song. Don't start playing it. But I remember an old song when I was a kid. It's a secular song. But it said, my boyfriend's back, and there's gonna be some trouble. Hey la, hey la, my boyfriend's back. Well, let me just say this. My King is back, and there's gonna be some trouble. Hey la, hey la, my King is back, and there's gonna be some trouble. I gotta let you go home. If I could, I'd preach till midnight. On your way out today, would you give Jesus his tithe? You know, when they asked how they could return to the Lord, he said in tithe and offering. Last week, I had the wind kind of taken out of my sails for a minute, but I had to believe that he is. Because our offering in the East was the worst it's ever been. I said, they all came with their ticket but forgot to bring their offering. So if you didn't put your tithe in last week, please do it this week. And let's make up the difference because God is good all the time. If you're making a check, make it out to CNC. But altar ministers, would you? We're going to give it on the way out. Is that all right? Altar ministers, join me across the front. If you have a need today, you haven't been born again. If you were to die today, you don't know whether you'd go to heaven or hell. You can know, because the Bible says these things were written that you may know that you could have eternal life. Let me tell you something, friend. This is going to be the most exciting experience of your entire life. When you get hooked up to the King, you'll be sitting at a King's table forever. You'll be wearing King's clothes, and you'll be walking in King's authority. It's a powerful thing. So if you've not been born again, we're going to ask you to come for prayer. Maybe you're still needing a word from God, a prophetic word. I believe the prophetic utterance is up in this place, and we could release that to you. Maybe today you're a backslidden. You need to be recommitted to Christ. Some of us are just kind of like one foot in, one foot out. But today you'll say, you know what? I'm going all the way with God. And you can recommit your life to Jesus. Maybe some of you here today, you say, Pastor, I've never experienced the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking with other tongues. Yeah, well, we do believe that here. We believe you could be baptized in the power of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking with other tongues. So we're going to pray for you here. Maybe you're looking for a church. You say, you know, I haven't been able to find a place to hook up. But God's speaking to you and you're saying, you know what? I believe this is the place. When I say that as an altar call because I believe it's a God moment. Maybe you want to pray with somebody about it that you'll still hear the voice of God. Because we don't want you to be where you're not supposed to be. But we want you to be here if you're supposed to be here, all right? So I've given you about four or five things in which you can respond. Everybody, please stand to your feet. Those of you that are here to receive Christ or you need prayer or maybe a word from the Lord or baptism of the Holy Spirit or a member of the church, would you come right now and let us ask you to come in prayer all over the far right, left, the back, side. We'll pray with you. Come on, before you go that way, come on this way. Nice to have you here. Nice to have you here. Anybody else? Come on. Amen. I believe that God's working. I was told that those that ordered shirts, they're in. Those that would like to order a shirt, do that today. They say, live right, love everybody, pray hard. We'd love for you to wear one around and just testify about what God's doing. Well, live right, love everybody, pray hard. I'll see you on Wednesday night. Hey, listen, 1 week from Wednesday, I'll begin a series on the Christian home. And I hope you can join us for that 6 to 8 part series. It'll be a great time. Until then, see you next time or see you on the north side. God bless you. Give your offering on your way out.